Welcome back to Edge of Indy. Today's show is undoubtedly going to save lives and inspire our city and beyond. We're banding together with an amazing local woman, that's Samantha Smith, and two groups walking beside her during her harrowing journey. And that's the Indiana Blood Center and Project 44. So stay tuned and stick around. Saving a life is really as simple as a swab in the cheek, Indy. All that and much more coming on right now on Edge of Indy.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Like I said, welcome back to Edge of Indy. Hey, my name is Aaron Sparks. I'm the host of Edge of Indy, as well as owner of Site Strategics, who's the proud sponsor of this show. Every day we focus, or every week I should say, it may be every day down the road, who knows? Every week we actually focus on local Indianapolis entrepreneurs and innovators, movers and shakers here in the city. We also focus on and feature people and organizations that are out there making Indianapolis a great place to live, work, and visit. So we say this on a regular basis, choose local and choose local off, and that's what Edge of Indy is all about. I'd like to introduce my sidekick over here, the Robin to my Batman, right? How about that?
I've been called worse. I'll take it.
We've got Brittany Simpson. Simpson. My God.
Do I have a different last name now?
I'm changing names all over the place.
I know. You're all about that.
Brittany, she's the onboarding and outreach manager over at Site Strategics. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I also want to extend a warm welcome to someone that I know is going to change lives today, and that's Samantha Smith, public speaker and consultant with Samantha Smith Speaks.
Lots of S's there.
Wow.
But you did
so
well.
You really put a challenge to me, didn't you?
You passed.
Didn't warn me about that.
Sorry. We should have practiced that before.
Well, thanks for joining us, Samantha.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Before we get started, I have to tell you, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad we can use this platform as a resource to lift you up and shine a light on what you're doing in the community. Thank you so much for being here. And in order to understand a little bit about where you're headed, we have to look at where you've been.
Sure.
So can you tell us a bit about your life journey up to this point?
Sure. So I grew up in Indy, so I'm a local gal. Always lived here, minus my stint in Lithuania when my husband, Andrew Smith, was playing over there. So Andrew went to Butler University,
played Go Dogs.
good woman to my left. He played under Coach Brad Stevens, was on both teams with the national championship, and eventually graduated and had just had great success at Butler and really put him on the map in the basketball world before we went overseas, where Andrew played in Lithuania. And it was unfortunately over there very, very early on in his basketball professional career that we discovered one of his lymph nodes was swelling and came to find that it was cancerous. So we came back here in 2014 and kind of began our very public battle with his cancer. So a lot of people around Indy, you know of Andrew and certainly know of his story. But that's kind of, you know, my why and kind of why I'm here. So all of 2014 was spent battling, you know, chemotherapy treatments and walking through that with Andrew, and then in 2015, unfortunately, after him being in remission, it returned, and that's kind of when he needed a bone marrow transplant, and that's kind of how Project 44 and our relationship with Be the Match and the Indiana Blood Center was really birthed. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Andrew passed in January of 2016. So that's kind of the short version, very short version of our journey, but is why we have such strong ties with Indy and why we're so involved with kind of making the world a little bit better. So.
And obviously, I appreciate that brevity, but I mean, you've gone through an incredible amount of incredible ordeal here.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot. Absolutely. It's definitely a journey that you never think that you're going to be walking through. Having the conversations that we had, you know, with doctors, when Andrew got diagnosed, he was early in his 20s and we'd been married, got married in May of 2013 and he got diagnosed in January of 2014. Granted, we'd been together since high school. So we're high school sweethearts again here in Indy. We went to Covenant Christian High School. So we've been together for a long time, but you just don't really think that that's going to be your journey, certainly in general. But then, you know, Andrew was a young professional athlete, no family history of, you know, any health issues. So this obviously came to a shock for all of us. And again, this was a person that their profession is taking care of their body. And Andrew did that very well and took that very seriously. So just a shock on all accounts, you know, when we were kind of faced with that. So like you said, just kind of been through the ringer and just a lot of, you know, ongoing, you know, just issues that you never think you're going to face.
I was telling her before the show, I followed her journey since about 2014 when I started dating my bulldog, my now husband, Ryan, who diehard Butler Bulldog fan. You know, Kicking Cancer with the Smiths, your blog. Mm-hmm. I read that as my own sister was going through chemo. She's a three-time cancer survivor, cancer's ass too. And
that's great.
So I've followed you this whole time, and something that I've followed you in your journey. And every blog post that you posted, I felt every word of it. Mm. I felt so much strength come from you. And I can tell that faith really played a huge role in your journey up to this point. Can you tell us kind of what role faith plays in your life and how it's gotten you not only through that, but kind of where you are at this point in life as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew and I both had a pretty solid foundation of faith, but we came to it very differently. Andrew's upbringing is very solid. His family was, again, very solid in their foundation of faith and going to church and sending kids through, you know, Christian school system and everything. I, on the other hand, had a very rough childhood, but had grandparents that always implemented faith in our lives. So I was very blessed in that regards. But either way, Andrew's foundation was very solid and stable, and mine was a bit rocky growing up. Mm-hmm. And so when we kind of came to this, you know, this journey with cancer, I almost felt a sense of responsibility. I remember in the beginning of feeling like I need to show Andrew how to walk through hardship with faith. And the crazy thing is I that wasn't my role, and just that he was always teaching me.
Right.
We definitely would take turns, and just, you know, there are times you just have to borrow someone's faith. But, you know, that certainly was something that we relied on and I continue to rely on. Just, I think, in the midst of trial and hardship and in the midst of feeling like everything is totally not what you expected it to be, just kind of going back to that truth and relying on that. And like I said, there were just times where the focus for me was just like, why? And, you know, kind of sitting in the anger of that, and Andrew being like, okay, I get that, but, you know, we need to be mindful of what we know to be truth and who we know Christ to be. And then on flip sides, you know, with Andrew's being like, I'm angry about this, I'm upset, I don't understand. And then I would have to kind of take that role. So just growing together, and I think that was honestly the way in which that we grew together the most as a married couple, and certainly in our own separate journeys of faith, of just kind of walking through that together. So we certainly relied on that heavily, walking through our journey. And I felt so much peace towards the end of just knowing that Andrew was at such a good place, that he, you know, felt, you know, obviously not okay in his soul with how, you know, things went, but there was certainly a peace with him.
Right.
And then certainly now, having gone back and read, you know, devotionals and things that he's in, journal entries and things like that, just again, kind of being continuously reminded of that peace that he felt, and that's offered me a lot of great comfort. Now, I won't lie and say that since Andrew's passed that I've been, you know, solid and been like, this is fine, you know, because I know where he is. And well, I do know where he is and I do know truth. There are certainly times where like, this is not fine. And, you know, you noted our blog, Kicking Cancer with a Smith. Something that we always try to do is just be very genuine. And that's, you know, something I continue to do with my speaking and writing. You know, when it sucked, we said it sucked. And when it's hard, we say it's hard. And I will sit here and tell everybody, like, I've certainly struggled in my faith since, you know, since Andrew's passed. You know, that's been a solid and is still consistent thing. But certainly moments of, like, why, and moments of anger, and moments of just sitting in that injustice and having to kind of wrestle through that. But I think a great thing that I've learned most through all this is that the Lord's not intimidated by my questions, that he welcomes those, and that I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just continuing the conversation and prayers versus just shutting off and being like, you know what, I'm done, I don't want to talk, I have nothing to say to you, God, versus being like, okay, I'm angry about this, and, you know, well, I need to work through that sort of thing.
Gosh, you are just a beacon. You really
you.
Are.
Like, I don't
sitting
like
next to you, I'm
times,
just like, yes, I
appreciate it,
get every word of it. Absolutely. Because it was similar with my sister. I mean, there are days when I don't want to believe today, and it's hard, and it's watching her body break down and things like that, where I had to believe for her at times. And I'm sure it was similar for you on the rough days. It's like you put it on your face and you fake it.
Yeah.
Fake
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah. Fake it when you have to. And obviously, I think that offers such support to people who, on days they can't, you can. Right. And so I totally get that. And I know how hard that is. So
I think that that's something that I really hope people like just take away, is that it's okay to not have it all together.
Right.
You know, like, it's okay to not be okay. You just can't sit in that. I think that's, again, something else I've learned through grief, is just that I can feel a certain way. I can be sitting in this emotion, but as long as I'm not pitching a tent there and kind of like, you know,
making it your residence,
my home,
yeah,
then that's okay. There are days where I don't want to get out of bed, and those days are okay, as long as the next days or, you know, the following week aren't the same, you know, situations
well,
and feelings.
Well, Christ tells us that your faith will be challenged.
Yeah.
Always.
It's promised.
It's absolutely promised.
It's promised.
And as you understand that's the mm-hmm. scenario, mm-hmm. then you can learn how to actually not only battle it, but also know when that something's washing over you,
right.
that this too will pass.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a more mature way of understanding Christianity than the reactionary realm that so many people are in right now, mm-hmm. and just holding up their fist towards God, going, how
right.
in the world
right.
could this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But at the end of the day, knowing that we're not called to be comfortable.
No, we're not.
And I think that is a huge misconception with Christianity, is that you think, okay, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I'm going to walk faithfully. And then it's all going to be good.
Gardens and rainbows.
Yep, it's going to be great. That's not the case at all. I wasn't called to be comfortable. That's not the calling place in my life. You know, at the end of the day, everything is about glorifying Christ in all I say and do,
right.
whether that's through hardship or whether it's through good times. And both will come, but I certainly know hardships will too. So,
Samantha, after facing such a loss and at such a young age
yeah.
as well, you found the strength to take these lessons that you've learned,
mm-hmm.
and so many people would not do this. And I mean, this is not the entirety of the story, obviously, but this is what is so incredible, is that you turn this around to help others. And you've always been a mission driven individual, mm-hmm. but you've also jumped into consultant work, mm-hmm. into speaking, mm-hmm. and trying to inspire people to be able to take their challenges head on, mm-hmm. and also learn that it's okay to crumble a bit,
yeah.
due to what you're facing, but be able to stand up as mm-hmm. well and keep on forging ahead. You gave a TEDx Lily talk.
Yes,
so good.
That
it was so
fantastic.
Fun.
That was so
it
fun.
Took me straight to church when I was like, this is amazing.
It was so fun. It's an incredible opportunity.
Killer job.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. It was a fantastic speech. And I mean, just watching you in that presentation, you were right there in the moment, but there is so much that you've gone through, and you could just see as you're presenting it that you're marching through it to deliver what needed to be delivered,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so many, I mean, anybody that goes through a particular challenge like this or struggles like this, they need to be able to see that the Lord does use people in certain ways to be able to offer help and mm-hmm. offer not only words of wisdom but and also inspiration but solutions,
mm-hmm.
because part of what you've been able to do is be able to work with organizations and bring awareness to a needed issue,
mm-hmm.
and the registry is just that. So can you tell us a little bit about what you discovered in the lack of awareness for the bone marrow transplant registry?
Sure. So the bone marrow transplant and the registry, the whole process was one that we had no idea existed, or that there was an issue with the registry at all until we were facing it. You know, I remember being told very early on in Andrew's treatment, if you're facing a bone marrow transplant, you know, you're in bad shape. That's your last resort. So we want to avoid getting to that point. So I remember going through treatment and always feeling like that was the thing we wanted to avoid and mm-hmm. really, really stay away from. So I remember when we were faced with it, we knew the gravity of it. We knew that it was, you know, a pretty dire situation. So most patients that are getting a bone marrow transplant, this is their last option of treatment, because it means that chemotherapy or radiation, you know, XYZ, right. their treatment didn't work.
Right.
So essentially, a bone marrow transplant, to put it in very layman's terms, is taking one person's immune system and putting it in a very sick person's immune system, with the idea that it will wake up in a new body and recognize, hey, there's cancer or there's something here that needs to be attacked. So it's a very basic kind of version of what happens when someone gets a bone marrow transplant. But the issue that we didn't realize is that there are many patients just waiting for a match. Mm-hmm. So their cure is out there. You know, their bursin, their match, their other immune system is out there. It's just not on the registry and ready to go into, you know, into the system yet. So that was just kind of a glaring issue with us. It's not something like, you know, the organ, you know, registry that everybody kind of automatically signs up for, mm-hmm. you know, when they're getting their license and things like that. But there are just thousands of people dying every day because they're just waiting for their match to be on the registry. So we were not aware of that issue, and we weren't aware of just the misconception of getting on the registry and even giving a bone marrow transplant, what that process looked like. Mm-hmm. When I say that, people get immediately scared and think that, you know, I'm gonna extract something from, you know, very painfully,
all your bones
and all your body. Right. But to get on the registry itself, it's just a swab of the cheek,
right.
And you're on the registry. And
yeah, and we're gonna do that with you later. We're doing that on the show today, which is great.
And that automatically puts you on the registry. So if there is someone in need that is sick and needs, you know, your match, then you automatically go on that registry. And then to actually give and be a bone marrow, you know, donor, there are two ways that you do so. One of which is an IV in each arm, so it's pretty much just like giving blood, and you sit there for a couple of hours, and they, you know, take it out of your system just through blood, and then it goes back in, just minus the marrow. Mm. And then the other way is just through slight sedation, and they just put a needle in your hip, and that's just for comfortability. But you walk out that day. It's, you know, it's a outpatient procedure.
So there's so much fear of because of lack of knowledge,
right?
And
I get that because we were there too.
Yeah.
You know, we understand. So that just became a huge thing that we needed to get behind, just the injustice of patients dying every day. Then they don't need to, you know, their match is out there. They're just not on the registry yet.
There's someone we work with here who was just recently, he's on the Be the Match registry, and
Bob.
Yes, I went to UND with. Yes,
he was
talking about it. He's like, you'll love her. I'm like, I already do. She doesn't know, but I already do. He just matched with someone.
Which is incredible.
The nicest, I mean, Bob is the absolute nicest human other than probably you. But I think about like, oh my God, I'm so glad somebody, you're okay too.
Fantastic.
I'll like you more once you're on the registry. Be on the registry for
Same.
Me to like you. But no, I'm so glad that we have somebody in our organization who will actually impact.
And you'll see the process.
That little life, like such a little life. I want to say he's like a 4-year-old or two. I mean, young.
And it's all over the place. So they're very young patients. They're, you know, elderly patients at times. So it's just people that are in need. And the greater need is people of ethnic diversity background.
Right.
So I remember one time Andrew and I were on an appointment, and the doctor just told us, because Andrew is, you know, white, male, of European descent. He got a match very quickly. I have a mother from Thailand. My dad is German-Irish, so I have a bit of a diverse background. But I remember the doctor saying to us, if roles were reversed and Sam was the one in need, I can almost guarantee you she wouldn't be finding a match. And that just sent Andrew over the edge, just the idea that his wife would be passing away because she is of, you know, an ethnically diverse background.
And the technology's there.
Right. Everything's there.
Everything's there. It's just
The willingness of people to hop on the registry
and the education.
And the education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, certainly we're wanting to use this show as an opportunity just to realign people and demystify this entire thing. And on top of that, put challenges up, because the best way that we can move the ball is, I mean, honestly, challenge and
just
even
an old fashioned challenge.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's how
Throw it down, because
I mean,
that's to channel my inner Jennifer Magley. Just do it, right?
Just do
Jennifer
it.
Jennifer Magley.
I literally had to grow about 15 inches.
Jennifer Magley would love Samantha Smith.
Absolutely.
So, P.S., we're going to hook you up with basically anyone I've ever met in my entire life.
Wonderful.
Because I know that you really are taking all of this, and you're trying to, like you said, go into organizations, speak, do your speaking engagements, and you're talking about just all of your wisdom in all different subjects. I listed a few of them. Young women in comparison, women's empowerment, leadership versus bossiness, which is... incredible. Grief, women in the workplace, just a slew of topics. I want to hear from you so that we literally can go through our Rolodex and hook you up with all the organizations that we know. What do you want to be talking about? Like, I know you can do all this, but what is your heart called to speak to right now?
So while I love and appreciate that my journey with Andrew and cancer is always going to be part of our journey, I can't have that be my entire life. I've come to a point where that's not, as far as speaking goes and you know, professionally, just realizing that's not a healthy point for me to be. So while it's always intertwined in why I'm there or, you know, part of a speaking engagement, It's heavy and it's hard to honestly do that
heavy
day
to carry
in and day
every
out.
Day.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So the space that I love women's empowerment. I come alive with young women, whether that's, I love the college age going in and talking with them, like you said, about comparison and leadership versus bossiness and just helping them be secure in who they are and who they were built to be. And then I love going into workplaces and kind of helping them shift and think about how to maybe do things a little bit differently. I kind of take my journey and how this idea of inevitably things are going to go wrong, inevitably things are going to be shifted and aren't going to go exactly as you thought about or maybe you planned for. And then so then you're kind of put in this then what situation. Sure. And so what I love to do is to go in and kind of help them navigate, okay, what's my now what? What's my why now that things have kind of gone, or more so preparing for when that inevitably happens, because trials will come, you know, things are going to happen. And so when you already have that foundation laid and you know how you're going to approach a situation when it inevitably comes, you're in a much better position. So I love speaking to women and I love going to businesses and just kind of helping them rethink about how to.
You should also do fitness things because I follow you and
that I love.
You
that
are
I love.
A beast in the best way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love that, but I don't feel, I don't know.
You're just like the prettiest beast ever.
When I see athletes, I'm like, I'm not athletic at all. I can't do any of this, but I do love the fitness world.
Yes.
I do CrossFit every day. It's my favorite thing. I love to run. So if that is a space I could get into, oh man, I would in a heartbeat.
I'm going to get you there.
I would love to. I'm taking her with me.
I'm getting you
she's
into
also,
it.
She's just going to be in my pocket all the time.
Fine.
Wow. She's a personal cheerleader.
All right.
Totally
there you
fine.
Go. You should probably record a few things and just, you should make a Brittany Simpson app.
I could.
You
know?
I could do that.
There you go.
I'll
hey.
Base that.
Samantha, what really hits me, like a ton of bricks, is not only the grace that Brittany touched on, but also your persistence, your resilience in this space, and you've used your life to help better others and be able to champion a message, and not only the message of inspiration, but also demonstrating how people can use pain that they go through to the benefit of others. And that's honestly what God wants us to do, is not not hold on, not fixate on something, but be able to share that with other people so they can actually learn from your lessons. What would you say to people that are going through their own struggle? And obviously, there's so many people that go through their own challenges. How can you inspire people to use what they're going through? Because it not only is it daunting to get through that challenge, it's also daunting to speak about it as well. So can you give us some insight into for those who are suffering right now and are listening to the show?
Sure. Honestly, Aaron, I think one of the biggest gut checks I ever got, I was certainly having a hard time and kind of, you know, walking through grief. And I had a mentor sit across from me and say, you know, if the Lord was sitting across from you right now, if you were having breakfast with God right now, and he said, Sam, I need you to do this. I need you to walk through your husband with cancer, and he's going to pass away. And I need you to help spread the gospel and help spread the message of inspiration and empowerment. Beyond that, will you do it? The answer is yes every time. I think that, you know, it's sometimes difficult to sit there and think that I don't want to do. I mean, I think it's easy to sit there and think I don't want to do this. And, I guess just not keeping in mind the ultimate goal and thinking about like why you're doing what you're doing. So for me, that's faith, and for me, that is inspiring and empowering other people. But at the end of the day, like if you know, the Lord was sitting across from me and he was saying, I have this very hard journey for you to walk through, but it's going to save thousands and it's going to point people to me. Will you do that? It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be hard. It's going to be sad, but I need you to do it. And I remember being asked that and thinking, yes, every time the answer to that is yes. So I think just keeping in mind your ultimate goal of, or keeping in mind, for me, it's, you know, glorifying the Lord in all I say and do. For me, it's also just empowering and helping other people. So I think just always keeping your why at the forefront of your mind kind of helps you push through those days. And people's whys look really different, and that's okay.
And they change.
And they change, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But keeping your why at the front of your focus is pretty crucial as to pushing through that. And then also just grace upon grace for yourself and for other people. Grace in that you are going to feel terrible sometimes and you're not going to want to do things, and that's okay. And grace for people that God love them, have good intentions, but are maybe handling a situation poorly as they walk through a situation with you. Just grace upon grace upon grace of for yourself and for others is just so crucial. And I think walking through hardship, and that's a lesson I'm learning every single day. Talk to my friends and family. They'd be like, yeah, she's still working on that one. And it is a daily process. And being okay with that, knowing that there is always growth and that you've never got it all figured out.
Right.
And that's okay. So just kind of sitting in that and sitting in that tension.
Well said. We certainly appreciate
everything about you.
Everything about you. But we're honestly in awe. And it's a shame right now that we don't hear that many stories like this. Mm. But you're certainly inspiring. You're certainly wanting to challenge people to get out of that pain and be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and whatever realm that looks like, I get that not everybody is going to be like, I'm walked to this and I'm ready to be a public speaker. You know, that's not everybody's thing.
No, you don't have to be public speaker.
No,
I mean,
you can
just be that resource for somebody
exactly.
who is also
exactly.
going. You don't have to speak to the mm-hmm. masses. Just speak
exactly.
to one mm-hmm. person.
You're 100%. Also a wonderful writer. I have
Thank
to say,
you.
You're,
oh,
you're
Thank
a
you.
Great writer.
Thank you.
So another avenue for
it's
you
a,
to
it's
explore.
A fun resource
Let's
for
get
me.
You mm-hmm. a Really a, great blog.
That's a fun resource for me. I do love to write. That's a good resource.
What can we do for you? Because I will every day wave your flag. I will sing your praises.
Well, yeah, you're going to come live with me.
I'm going to live with
in
you.
In your pocket.
In my pocket. We're both small. We'll make it
what
work.
Can we as an organization do for you? Because
honestly,
I want to do it.
Like you kind of, just kind of like you said, any speak engagements that kind of fit that realm, I'm, you know, looking to fill my calendar. And I've been, you know, really blessed already with really great opportunities. And that calendar fills up, and it honestly is humbling every single time. While it is very much so a space that I feel called to, and I feel like very much so is my purpose, it doesn't take, you know, the shock every time away.
Sure.
Just being like, I get to do this. And that's what I love, is that I'm at a point with a profession that I get to do something that I love, that I, you know, and I get to do it versus mm-hmm. I have to do it. So I just love to fill my calendar with speaking engagements. I do freelance writing, any writing and everything. You know, just I love to empower people, and whatever that looks like, I love to come alongside people in their journey in their life. And that looks a little bit different for everybody, but I'm excited to come along with them.
Absolutely. So to everybody who's listening and watching, we actually have the URL on the screen, but the audio people can't see it. So we're going to spell it out. SamanthaSpeaks.com.
Samantha Smith Speaks. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It's written
out. You missed an S. That's all right. You
it's
missed
okay.
an S.
It's
a lot of S's.
Written out, and he
I still missed it. Samantha Smith Speaks. .org.com.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's www.SamanthaSmithSpeaks.com. That's what it is.
On Twitter's easier.
Yeah,
Samantha 44 Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find her at on Facebook at Samantha Smith Speaks. Boy, now I'm tripping
over. It is a riddle in all fairness.
I didn't set everybody up, you know, I promise.
I think you did.
I didn't.
we certainly appreciate your courage and speaking honestly to people and being able to help people. It's so easy in today's society to just recede into the background mm-hmm. after you go through something sure. like this. You absolutely are our inspiration to be able to emulate.
Thank
so
you.
We want to lift you up as best as possible after the show as well. So we are going to stay tuned, and we're going to bring a number of other individuals
yeah.
that you've been working with on the show here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be checking in with Indiana Blood Center as well as Project 44. But first, let's check in with Paul Poteet on the Edge.
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on the Edge.
Hey, Paul, how are you Hello. Doing, sir?
Paul Poteet, noted platelet blood donor for the Indiana Blood Center.
Aw, Paul, thanks.
Thank you
yes.
very much.
Good for you.
How long have you been a donor?
Oh, gosh. You know what? It's kind of a thing I do because my dad did it, you know, for years and years when he would I can remember when I was a kid, he'd come home with those little pins, which they still give out. You know, if you give a certain
yeah.
amount of whole blood or platelets, because I just got one in the mail a while ago, which made me smile because I thought of my dad. And so I've done it. I had done it on and off as an adult. And then after we had some kind of a giant blood drive, I think after 9/11 on Channel 6. And I participated in that. And then I just got in the habit of doing it. And then one day they asked me the faithful whole question. Has anybody ever tried to get platelets from you before? No. And so they were able to, and now I'm on the list. And so I give platelets all the time. It takes a little more time. It can be like about a 90-minute to 2-hour process. Sometimes they take a double, whatever they call it, double whammy,
right.
play.
Well, thank you.
No, it's easy to do. It's the easiest thing in the world. You lie there, and they, you know, will give you something to drink and eat afterwards. I mean, it's a piece of cake.
What could be better than that?
Honestly,
they won't give you a piece of cake when I say that. It's not literally.
Back in my college days, we called it the read and bleed. We'd actually go down and donate our plasma, our blood, and have a book and. You know, it was a good thing to do.
You hear that, college students? The read and bleed.
Yeah. Me and the other college students, we hang out and get platelets. But, you know, these days, you've got your TV and your, wherever it is, you've got your TV and your radio or whatever with you. So it's easy.
That's called a smartphone.
That's a phone.
If you can, smartphone. That's what this thing is. And so if you can work it with one hand, you're set. Or they have the little TVs. You can, you know, if you're old fashioned.
Yep.
And you want to watch a plain old TV. They've got that too.
No, it's great. And we're just trying to get the word out that people should be doing this on a regular basis. It should be part of their lifestyle. And just getting this awareness, it's great to be able to see you doing that. And we certainly want to, push on businesses and trying to create a culture where people can actually do that. That's an awesome thing to know about you, Paul. However, you have been on the edge recently.
I have my sides.
You do have your sides.
I have my other sides, too.
Yes, you do. And some of them scare me. And the middle ground is the edgy, Paul. So what in the world's on the edge for you this week?
When I bring you story number one, let me just say up front, I'm not trying to disparage the great iconic brand McDonald's. I love me a double quarter pounder with cheese and large fry. I know a lot of people don't, but I mean, and then they got me all over again as an adult with this darn coffee. You know, it's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty good deal. As long as you stay away from the McRib, right?
It is back.
I never liked the McRib. I never got that.
What are you guys trying to do? What are you trying to do? Stay away.
Yeah, that's right. Know your brand. But anyway, so when I say that, I'm not trying to, but it is a funny story. Well, it's funny if you're not the woman in Australia who claims that McDonald's employees love the food so much. Also, they took a bite out of it.
No.
Of her burger and her pancakes that she had ordered. A disgusted mother stopped by an Ashmore, Australia McDonald's pickup. An order for her and her son.
Yeah.
And then her son opened his pancakes, although this picture doesn't look like pancakes, does it?
Nope.
Her son opened his pancakes and asked if she had taken a bite out of his food. And she inspected both her son's breakfast and her own burger and saw a bite had been taken out of each.
Oh, come on.
That makes me sick.
This came after the Mickey D's employees made having her wait 15 minutes while they put extra lettuce on her burger.
And then ate it.
I think that's code when they said. Yeah, extra.
Wow. Now, my first reaction, I'm a bit jaded from the whole hot coffee personal injury lawyer pursuit.
Oh, yeah, over. Yeah, right.
Prove it. Prove that this, I mean, did they do a dental match on the kid and the mom to see if that was actually their bites or somebody else's? I mean,
well, you'd better save the food, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't keep on eating it, you're removing evidence.
At the same time, really? You don't think that a McDonald's employee... Have you been to McDonald's recently?
And nobody's bitten my food. No, actually, I haven't.
And honestly, in the millions of times I've been to McDonald's, I've never gotten pre-eaten food.
However, that would save some time.
I don't know.
That's right. There's an old Saturday Night Live commercial parody. Google it. I don't know if it's out there, called Pre-Chewed Charlie's.
Oh, boy.
It's this whole restaurant chain, like for old people my age or whatever, where they pre-chew the food.
Yeah, like it's a baby bird.
It's called Pre-Chewed Charlie's.
I have to not do the story anymore.
So One of you says possible, and one of you says has his doubts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. If the teeth fit, then it quit.
If the teeth quit, they'll force them to quit.
Absolutely.
No. Stand by. And in the meat, if anybody ever says, hey, Mr. Weatherman, we put more lettuce on your sandwich, I'm running.
Run away.
Well, there's food as a weapon. You know, that I guess that's the theme of these first two ones, because this is the story of Karina Mora. She is a 36-year-old actress. She's originally from Mexico, who lives in Florida with a guy.
Okay.
And who apparently she loved so much, she had, you know, arranged for him to have a birthday cake. For her birthday, but now she's just been released from custody for allegedly slamming the birthday cake into his face while he was trying to go to sleep.
Okay.
She looks friendly enough in that picture there.
Stop it.
Friendly's one word for it.
Oh, Paul.
The cops say that Mora had planned a surprise cake, surprise, for victim Robert Brown's birthday, but Brown came home late and had been drinking, which upset Mora, prompted a 1 a.m. argument in the couple's home west of Tampa, which, by the way, is in Florida.
Right. All happens in Florida.
All happens in Florida. They continue to argue, call each other's names as they prepared for bed. At that point, the cops say that Mora got the cake out, which she had lovingly posted on Instagram, as you see there at one point earlier in the evening.
Yep.
She got the cake out and slammed it on his head while he was trying to go to sleep.
Okay, I got it here. I got it. Now, you see the picture of that cake, right? Mm-hmm. There is beer on the cake. There's a mug of beer.
She knew!
And she was...
It says the Instagram hashtags included beer lover. Love and Dada, or Dada, Daddy, I don't know.
So literally, she gets upset with him for drinking too much. She's celebrating the fact that he drinks beer.
You're drinking too much.
I think we're missing the bigger point here.
Oh, that's right.
She wasted a perfectly good cake, and that's upsetting to me.
Oh,
take her away. Right. Oh,
But here's the best. And then she gets the mugshot.
He gets a shot and she gets a mug shot.
See,
is what you're
mug
saying.
Of beer on the cake, shot in the face.
Dadjokes.com.
Come on!
It is National Pun Day, by the way. I forgot to mention that at the
beginning. Oh, that's right.
Today is Aid and Abet Punsters Day.
Oh, see? Y'all should be happy.
I didn't include this on our list of edgy stories, but it had like a starter pack of puns. I couldn't remember how to throw. I couldn't remember how to throw a boomerang, but eventually it came back to me.
Oh my god!
Small boy swallowed some coins and was taken to a hospital. His grandmother telephoned to ask how he was. The nurse said, "No change yet."
Oh, see.
What's the best thing about living in Switzerland? Well, the flag is a big plus.
Would anyone be offended if I walked out right now?
These are great training.
Just one more. I can quit anytime, but just one more. I bought some shoes from a drug dealer. I don't know what he laced them with, but I've been tripping all day.
See, I'm not going to give that one to my kid.
No, that's a gateway joke.
Atheism is a nonprofit organization.
You catch that? That was a gateway joke. All right, see?
Now back to our regular program already in progress.
Oh, my.
Which is, of course, stories on the edge. And the story of the Joker, not a pun. He really was a Joker and a doctor at the same time.
See how he put that together? That was beautifully.
That was beautiful.
Well,
thank you. King of the segs. Thank you very much. You won't even notice as I'm segueing you to this story of this doctor.
This is terrifying.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? This is how you enter the world.
I know.
This guy delivered a baby on Halloween dressed like this.
That's terrifying.
I cry too. That's Dr. Paul Locus. He's an obstetrician.
Yeah.
Dr. Paul. And I think he was also in Kiss briefly in the 80s. But
I'm just wondering if it was a dark night that he delivered the baby. Yeah.
Well, it was Halloween night. Apparently, the hubs said that his wife's water broke in the morning. Her due date was November 5th, so she was early.
That is terrifying. That is what nightmares are actually.
That's actually him in the operating room. The doctor was going to dress as, you know, the Joker on Halloween night. He was going to remove his costume, though, in time to come back and deliver the daughter. But I guess the daughter said no. Yeah, well, the mom and dad said, no, just come in where you are, because I don't know. I guess they wanted to be on Instagram. So he came back, and the quote from the dad is, from the story, there my wife is staring the Joker straight in his eyes while delivering our baby. What a sight. I was holding her leg up and snapping pictures. I was going to go Facebook Live, but the nurse cut me off.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, and there's the happy family.
Yeah, there they are, with minus the Joker. Maybe the Joker was taking the picture. I don't know.
Hannah. People.
Isn't that funny?
Look at that little babe.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the first thing you see when you come into this world.
Did I see what I really thought I saw?
No place to go but up at that point, I guess. I'll have to ask our technical staff, do we have that exclusive Edge of Indy? Okay, we have an exclusive picture of the baby's godparents here.
Come on now.
Now cut that out.
Now cut that out, both of you.
They're going to be there for the christening, so it's going to be a beautiful...
All the dad jokes.
Stay clear of my Adam West, all right?
Oh, I love Adam West. Are you kidding? Thank you. Thank you very much. That was beautiful. Happy I could put a smile on your face on this week's episode.
Oh, Paul.
So
those are the stories we found this week. And the pun bonus, because it's eight and a bad.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to have to put that link on there.
For those
of you who are not so pun inclined, it's a bootstrap. It's more of a, it could be a crutch, but at the same time, it's extending a helpful hand out to our audience. If you're pun
important life skills. We're all about life skills here.
It is a literary skill. I mean, you have to appreciate the wordplay. You must know words. You must know English,
absolutely,
and be familiar and comfortable with it to play around with it. So it's a mighty thing.
It's powerful, and with
it's
great
powerful.
with great power comes great responsibility. Now I'm mixing my universes, DC and Marvel.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But there's an underlying pun across the entire realm here. But there's no laughing matter when we're talking about weather. And
oh my gosh, it's about to get all cold.
I have a bone to pick with you about this, Paul. Yeah. This is not what I ordered.
Are you aware of the seasonal change that's coming here?
Here it comes.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, there's good weather content here lately. Unfortunately, it's usually not good. If I say that the weather is interesting. You don't want that. You know, the old proverb, may you live in interesting times. You don't want to live in interesting weather times. But between the severe weather last Sunday and the hard freeze that's coming up this coming Friday and Saturday morning, we are definitely whipsawing toward winter, which often happens around here. So, vroom, you know, it changes like that. Today and tomorrow, as we come to you on the live stream, today it's beautiful. Lots of sunshine out to about 50 degrees. The normal is in the mid to upper 50s this time of year. So we stay all the way through here below normal, and yep, look at that. Thursday night, Friday morning, 25.
I'm sorry, I need to take a PTO day on Friday.
Friday's high, 36. Everybody's gonna come in and all hunched over in the morning, clenched. When you get in there in the Edge, you know, office complex compound, mm-hmm. Friday morning, you're all gonna be five cups of coffee. And it gets a little better on Saturday. Next round of anything is gonna be just plain rain, no storms, no snow, but some rain Saturday night into Sunday morning. So it's not going above average anytime soon,
but
it's
not freezing
below
rain.
Average.
Not freezing rain. We're staying.
Yeah, but not not freezing rain. We haven't had any huge. We've had what now? Two different times we've had a little bit of snow mixed with rain. Mm-hmm. So here we're getting there. I mean, come on, people are. Two of the radio stations I'm on start playing Christmas music 2 weeks from Friday on Black Friday. Mm.
I can't stand that, honestly.
It hurts. It hurts me.
Literally, right next door to us, our neighbors have their Christmas lights. As we had our Halloween decorations, it's like, you know what? They're the same people that leave the orange pumpkin trash bags into Easter. I mean, it's just terrible.
I just recorded the Family Leisure Christmas sale spots day before yesterday, too. But we're working in defense. You won't see them for a while. So we're at least working ahead there. But it's inevitable. You can't stop it. It's a juggernaut.
I like hearing you on the Family Leisure commercials. Sometimes when I'm doing laundry,
right.
I hear you in the room, and I'm like, oh, Paul, Paul's here. happier.
You get to hear excited, caffeinated Paul.
Yeah.
Not the edgy Paul that we're all used to.
I am never so excited in my entire day than I am in the moment, the 30 seconds that I'm doing those.
You know, family leisure is exciting.
That's not Paul's baseline. Really? I thought you were actually pulling it back.
Yeah, every other time that I'm on TV or radio, I'm just relaxing. But yeah. Not when I'm talking about pools and hot tubs. So sometimes I'm exhausted when I hear him, fly by during Jeopardy. I thought, man, that guy is.
What was I on?
Yeah. I don't know who that guy is, but he can really talk fast.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Paul. It's great to be able to see those stories. And I appreciate the championing of the pun rhetoric and skill set.
I will stand toe to toe to you in the,
very good.
In the fight.
How about side by side? I'll take that as opposed to toe-to-toe.
Toe-to-toe. Let's see if I have any toe jokes. No, I don't have that. The difference between deer nuts and beer nuts. Google it.
Okay.
Google it. It's a bad pun.
Heck? I mean, that's like a drive-by punning.
Google it. Yeah, all I'm right. going to tell you right
all
now.
All right, everybody, don't Google it, because if you're at work, you'll probably get in trouble.
But Google me. It's paulpoteet.com.
Absolutely. Go have a look at paulpoteet.com and ask him about some of his best puns.
You can always email me.
Absolutely.
And tweet you, too.
And tweet. It's easy to do, as you know.
Absolutely. Paul.
Pun Poteet.
Pun Poteet here on The Edge. Thanks so much, Paul. And we will talk to you next week with a book on.
See you soon.
Bye,
all right,
Paul.
Bye-bye.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
All right, well, welcome back. Yes, thanks for staying with us on the show. Hey, I'd like to introduce a couple new friends that we've come across here in the studio. We've got Chrissy Edginton, owner of KPE Consulting, co-creator of Project 44, and Angela Tissol, Be The Match Community Engagement Representative. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, new friends.
Hi.
They are
some of my
friends.
Favorite people right here.
we're still here with Samantha Smith, but we wanted to really bring and shine a light on the great work that your groups and organizations have been up to. First, Angela, can you tell us a bit about Be The Match, the National Bone Marrow Registry?
Right. Be The Match is an international bone marrow registry. We can cure 70 different blood diseases with a transplant. Oh, wow. So it starts with joining. You have to be 18 to 44 to sign up, be in good general health, and be willing to donate to anyone in need. So it's just filling out a form, like Samantha said, and doing four quick cheek swabs.
So the education is the key, because there's such a lack of knowledge about this.
Right.
And also a trepidation of fear, bar none, of what this entails, right?
Right. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody said it hurts.
Right.
And I really want to say, you want to talk to a leukemia patient, because they can tell you what pain's all about.
There
this
it is.
Is nothing. It's very easy. There are two ways to donate, as Samantha said, and 75% of the time it's done through your arm, where they're filtering the stem cells from the blood, and it takes about 4 to 6 hours, outpatient procedure, no cost at all to the donor.
Wow.
Well, and I know your own life has been kind of touched by this registry.
Right.
Also, can you tell us a bit, because I imagine that has inspired you to become involved with the organization
as well.
It
has. I've been with Be The Match about 6 years, and started this job because my brother had leukemia, and there's 6 in our family. So the first thing when somebody is diagnosed is they're going to check siblings if a transplant's needed, because you have a 30% chance of matching your sibling. So we were all tested, and no matches. So my brother's doctor went to the Be The Match registry, and we were able to find a match for him. He did pass away 3 months after his transplant. A lot of our patients get what's called graft versus host disease, and it's where your body is fighting off the good cells because it doesn't realize they're good cells.
Oh,
and
wow.
For a cancer patient, that is really difficult for them to overcome, because their body's so compromised anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry that happened.
Well, it made me, it inspired me to come to Be the Match because we were so thankful that he had that time, that extra time, and that somebody was willing to step up and be a donor for him when we weren't able to. Sure. I mean, it's amazing to me as his sister that I wasn't his match, but a total stranger was. And that's what we're just trying to get the word out, that it is so easy. And if it were someone in your family that was in need, you would want everyone to sign up. So just please put yourself in these family shoes and sign up. It's so easy.
No, and I told you, we've got 20 people on the other side of this building, and we're going to make sure our entire team is on it.
That's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. I mean, again, to reiterate, for patients diagnosed with leukemia, lymphoma, and other life-threatening diseases, a bone marrow or a cord blood transplant may be their best or only hope for a cure, right? But yes, 70% of the patients who need a transplant do not have a fully matched donor in their family.
Right.
And that's huge. That's where Be the Match actually comes into play.
Right. So we're encouraging people to widen that pool of potential donors because, as Samantha said, we have the cures. We know how to fix these things. Mm-hmm. We just have to find that one person who matches that patient and can save their life. And so it does... Take somebody to sign up.
Which is the crazy thing. I think everybody thinks of cancer and they think, if I could do anything, if I could make a difference, I would. And we're giving people an avenue, a way, a resource to do that. I'm not sure people are aware of that. So you can do something in the face of cancer, and you can do something that 100% help cure them. You can be their cure. You just have to hop on the registry.
And put your concern where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. And this is a great segue because it's as easy as a swab. So we got several members on our team that are actually part of the register, but I'm not. As we continue to talk, we can get me registered as well, right? So we want everyone to see how easy this is. So we're going to do this right now.
It doesn't hurt.
I've been told it's not going to hurt.
It's not going to hurt.
It's not going to hurt.
But that was a joke, actually. We're going to torture you now.
We're going to take it in the back room.
So it's the puns, right? The puns.
That part's not going to hurt.
All right. So what do we do here?
So you're just going to take that swab, and in between your cheek and your gum,
right?
You're going to get some cells on there, rub it back and forth like you're brushing your teeth for about 10 seconds.
Okay.
You're
going
to kind of stay at the top.
Right at the top. All right.
We're going to do four swabs, four quadrants of your mouth, and then after we're done, we'll send that to our repository in Minneapolis, and you just kind of hang out and wait and see if you're ever called. You have a 1 in 430 chance of being called.
Right.
Okay, you're going to give that back.
Sure.
And do same side at the bottom.
Okay.
You have about a 1 in 430 chance of being called as a match. The younger you are, the more likely it is you'll get called. We hang out on college campuses a lot because doctors choose younger donors 90% of the time, because if the donor's younger, our patients get less of that graft versus host that I was talking about with my brother.
Other side at the top. See?
Are you in any pain?
I am not in any pain.
Good.
Watch you look great. Yeah.
Thank you.
You've never looked better. Saying your life looks good on you.
It does. It does. And you're going to have great karma the rest of your life you're doing
there
something.
We go.
Yeah, Angel will go to college campuses and tell them, you'll get an A on your next exam.
Yes.
I'm like, we're going to get sued.
Yeah.
We're going to get sued.
But for a good cause.
I'll take the lawsuit. That's right.
All right.
As you do that, I'm going to talk
over
you.
Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate that. Wow.
When's the last time you've been to the dentist?
I'm saying. Cleanest my teeth have ever been.
Chrissy, I want to turn it to you. You co-founded Project 44, which works in tandem with Be the Match and the Indiana Blood Center. Can you tell us more about Project 44, the significance behind the 44? I know it's Andrew's number, but there's more significance to that in terms of the project, too. So tell us all about Project 44.
Yep. So in partnership with Butler University, we came together in 2016, wanted to figure out how we could really honor Andrew in a way that not only acknowledged what he gave and did for the university and Butler's community, but also tried to continue the mission that he and Samantha started out with, during his journey. So we put our heads together, and it kind of all started with our live mascot program, Butler Blue 3, or Trip, as we all know and love him. And we wanted to give him something that he could really put his brand power behind. And so we figured that you know, the Be the Match registry, something that was so near and dear to their hearts and something that needed attention. So Butler created Project 44 in partnership with Be the Match. And Tripp is actually a national ambassador for Be the Match. So we're really excited about that. But the goal of Project 44 is to save 44 lives, or essentially create 44 matches. And so, as you said, Andrew wore the number 44 as a player on Butler's men's basketball team. And so it sounds like a really easy thing to do, right? You know, 44 is not that big of a number, but with the math of 430 mm-hmm. registrants to a match, you know, it becomes a quite large number.
18,920.
Yes, to be exact. So
that was some quick math.
Good yeah. We've recited it a few times.
I'm terrible
by now. But so we started out with that goal, and we've already had two of those matches made, I believe,
yes,
officially as part of the program. We have a really exciting one that we'll be celebrating here soon. But so for each new registry member that joins through Project 44, we get to kind of fill that barometer a little further and make our way towards our goal. And so every year we kind of do our big push around, you know, heading into basketball season and, of course, March Madness. Mm-hmm. We have a fantastic...
The best time of year.
That's
best
right. Oh, my gosh. We have a fantastic partnership with Be the Match, and out of their national office as well, have a program that they've been pushing the past year. So we've started to really see some traction take mm-hmm. off, and we actually have... last year was the first year of a Project 44 actual game at Hinkle, but this year we have a really marquee matchup. It's the Villanova home game on December 30th. That will be on CBS.
Major.
National broadcast.
Wow.
So we are so thrilled about that.
That's
it's
incredible.
The Big East
mm-hmm.
home opener mm-hmm. for us. And we have some really special, exciting stuff planned for the game. So we couldn't be more excited about mm-hmm. how things are rolling. And, of course, you know, trying to make sure along the way that we're keeping it tied to Andrew's spirit and the cause that, you know, he championed so, you know, personally mm-hmm. Through his battle. So we're really happy to be here in this partnership.
Regarding the process, once you're in the registry, what is the process if you're actually selected as a match?
Angela, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, there's two ways to donate. Uh-huh. The first way, 75% of the time, it's called a peripheral blood stem cell donation. So it's a needle in one arm. They take the blood and the stem cells out and filter that. Mm-hmm. And then they put the blood back in the other arm minus the stem cells. So there's just a small bag of stem cells is what that patient needs. We put it in a cooler, head to the airport, and fly it to wherever the patient is. 25% of the time, it's done under anesthesia. It's mm-hmm. a needle in your hip. Mm-hmm. That usually is if you match a child. At Riley, they almost always want our donors to donate through their hip.
Got it.
But with both types of donation, it's just like a blood donation where in 4 to 6 weeks your body regenerates more. So we're not asking for your kidney. We just
so it would hurt for a second and everybody
right.
can get through
right.
it.
Well, right.
Even,
well,
even with the peripheral, like that's, I mean, very much so like giving blood.
Yes.
And then even in the hip, I've spoken with donors that mm-hmm. have gone that route, and he said at most you feel like you slip on ice the next mm-hmm. day. But beyond, I mean, you know, going back to work, all that, like walk out that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all very simple and all.
No, point is, it's a non-issue.
It is a non-issue.
The process is easy, and literally, there should be no excuse mm-mm. to actually do this. It's simply
not to do it. You mean?
Yes, right. That's what I meant.
That's what wow. we are proponent for doing it. To be clear.
To be clear, there's no excuse not to do it. And honestly, it's a bloody embarrassment mm-hmm. that we have this as a lack of education that's keeping people mm-hmm. from helping mm-hmm. those
yeah.
who are in need mm-hmm. right now. People mm-hmm. are dying because they don't have these
every
type
day.
Of resources every day.
Every day.
Right.
And like
yeah.
Angela was saying, Be the Match takes every potential, you know, issue and takes care of it as far as cost. So you don't pay anything. If you have to go to the hospital and to do, you know, to give your blood or whatever, and
right.
you need someone to drive you there, they'll take care of that. If you need your dog boarded while you mm-hmm. do it, they'll take care of that. They take away every single
Gosh.
Reason as to why someone would say, I can't.
Right. Right, because we know that this was not something you were counting on doing, mm-hmm. so we want it to be as easy as possible on the donor.
Sure.
You're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is amazing. You're saving someone's life. And, you know, sometimes when people sign up, you're thinking about how this might impact a patient. But I can tell you the donor's life is impacted incredibly mm-hmm. as well. It's life-changing for them, you know. And how do you thank someone who saved your loved one's life? There's no words.
Well, and even Angela and I both, we've had the same experience of maybe that transplant not coming to fruition and that person not getting that healing. It buys you time and gives you those mm-hmm. conversations. Andrew getting a bone marrow transplant is the only reason why I got one last Christmas with Andrew.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the only reason why we were able to have very important conversations that made it easier for me moving forward as far as decision making. So even if someone's not, you know, fully healed, which obviously is always the end goal, but mm-hmm. realistically not always, it still is so important. It still gives family time for, you know, conversations, events, you know, holidays sometimes. So it's still important regardless of that actual life-saving or not.
I want to make sure we make sure viewers know all the different ways they can help mm-hmm. Be the Match. One of them is purchasing a shirt that mm-hmm. I'd like to model, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Yeah. Have a career in this.
Okay, so tell them about where they can do this, where they can buy this, that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
So the shop, actually, Christy, I'm going to let you chat about the shop because they're wonderful. Wow.
So the shop.
We're trying to get them on the show as well.
Okay, well, they are fantastic. They just opened their second location at Clay Terrace, but they're.
All right,
so it's the Shop Indie. They have locations in Broderpool and Clay Terrace, and they approached us actually after. Kind of the last year's media push for Project 44 and just said, hey, we feel like we need to do something to help. What can we do? And so they enlisted their own designers. They came up with this amazing shirt. There's another version that just has a really awesome 44 in the middle of it with the Project 44 logo.
They're really cute.
They're so cute.
And
so
they're
soft.
So comfortable.
Yeah. So comfortable.
They're so comfortable. They retail for $25, and out of that, they donate $10 to the Be the Match bone marrow registry. So we're so thankful for their partnership. We hope to see a lot more traction. Just from the first month of sales alone, we saw an incredible mm-hmm. donation mm-hmm. from them. And so we're so thankful for the shop and for everyone who purchased the T-shirts in support of the program.
Because it not only supports the program, but then it even starts conversations. So like, I'll have friends that say, I wore this, and they ask what it meant. And again, it kind of gives you that avenue to
Every
to
time
say
I
that.
Wear mine out, actually, somebody will stop me and say, I love your shirt. Where'd you get that? And it's like, well, do you know what it is? You know, let me tell you what it is, mm-hmm. and then I'll tell you where to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to make it even easier. There's so many ways to help, but you can literally text to the number 38470, the word Andrew, and you can buy the Project 44 Moose shirt at the Shop Indy, right? And mm-hmm. every shirt purchase, $10 goes directly to Be the Match in the name of Project 44. So the number is 38470 with the word Andrew, and you can actually sign up right there.
Yep.
Very, very easy.
They'll send you a link to sign up for the registry.
They'll send you a link. You know what? We're going to actually do that right after the show here. We're going to light up a few shirts here for the staff. How about that?
That's great.
I'm going to wear it every day.
Now, have your friends and family members join the registry as well. I mean, bring Samantha into your business to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. And finally, you can actually call the number 317-916-5110 to request a registry kit as well.
Right.
You can also hop on to butler.edu/Project44.
Yep. So all of our recent media mm-hmm. of the program, links to the registry, anything you need is on there.
And we'll be sure to share all of that information in the show notes as well. Awesome. That's a lot for people to take in right now.
Nope. Yeah.
So we're going to challenge as a marketing agency. We've got a pretty sizable agency here. We've got about 17 people here. We're going to challenge our own staff and get us all, as we can, registered. And on top of that, we're going to challenge some other marketing firms here in the city to be able to
throw down.
Hey, you know, put your mouth where your concern mm-hmm. is.
Absolutely.
Okay? And your money. We want your money, too.
We want your money, too. So we'll name a few. Matchbook Creative, right upstairs. We are challenging you guys right now. You better. I mean, they're right upstairs, so we can go march up.
You
there.
Know where they live.
We can find them.
She says creepily in the mic.
We know where you park too. And we can literally stand right in front of your cars until
I won't let them leave. Okay.
Well, you have to come home with me. Right, to market, but yes,
absolutely.
But We'll certainly give a shout out to all of our partner companies out there that we know and love, and they're doing a great thing in their space, and they always want to jump into these type of initiatives, and this is certainly one where marketing firms can truly get absolutely the word out. Mm-hmm. So
it's your job.
Absolutely.
It's our job.
Your job.
So we're going to tell them, do your job.
Do your job. Buy the shirts and book her to speak at your establishment.
There it is.
And join the registry.
And join the registry and go to Butler.
We don't ask much.
Wow. All right. So you can connect at all the different places. We're going to throw them in the show notes and post it on all the things.
We're going to put all the information.
Okay.
Very good.
And I want to thank you again
absolutely
for being here. I'm so glad I got
thanks
to meet you.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad we get to be best friends now.
Rearrange your room.
I know.
I'm
this
so
will
excited.
Be great.
This will be great.
I can't wait to decorate your house.
Just remember not to feed her after midnight.
Okay? Well, I feel like donuts is okay, though. Yeah. I eat donuts after midnight. So
done. Have you seen Brittany eating donuts after
not
midnight?
Yet.
It's scary.
Not yet.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for what you're doing.
It's a huge cause. And keep fight the good fight, because awareness here is incredible. And you've got to make everybody aware that it's so easy to do these things.
It's so easy.
Fantastic. Well, we'll certainly be cheering you from our own parapets and social media. And let us know if we can do anything else for this cause, all right?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. All right. Thank you so much for watching the show and listening to the show on podcast. Make sure that you share this show in particular to your friends and family, because I know that there's certainly somebody that you know that could benefit from not only registering, but also sharing this information to their loved ones. So share the stream, lift up all these brands, all these organizations, social media. This is Aaron Sparks speaking for Brittany, the pocket friend of Samantha Smith.
New title.
And hey, we're saying stay tuned, choose local and choose local often. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.